Now here she was. Riley's hold on Shasta's bridle was not to keep himself from falling into the draw. He's keeping me here on purpose. Against her will, Andy's gaze roved along the gully's rim until it came to rest on a missing chunk of earth. Her eyes widened. She hadn't realized so much of the ledge had given way that day. As she watched, Riley prodded a dirt clod with his boot toe. It dribbled over the side. Small rocks followed, stirring up a shower of dust on their way down. "Why am I?" Andy's voice cracked. Every fiber of her being shrieked to gallop away. She clamped down on her fear and cleared her tight throat. "Why am I here?" Her words came out cold and accusing. Riley turned around and smiled. "At least you're still talking to me." That stung. She glared at him. Riley came to her side and helped her down from the saddle. Andy protested at first, but her burning thighs convinced her she'd end up in a heap on the ground if Riley didn't lend a hand. She winced when her feet touched the hard-packed earth. "I warned you'd pay for overdoing it," he said, holding out his canteen. "Take a drink. It's pretty hot." Andy steadied herself against Shasta's flank and guzzled a quarter of the water before handing it back. "Let's get out of the sun." Riley led her to a grizzled bristlecone pine and settled her in a slice of shade. Then he sat down beside her. A silence thicker than Shasta's saddle blanket fell. Andy rested her hand on Tucker and scratched behind his ears. She refused to look at Riley. "I asked you a question," she finally muttered, head bowed. "Yeah, I heard it, both times." He heaved a sigh. "You probably won't believe me, but it was not my intention when we started out today to end up here." Andy snorted her disbelief and looked up. "You're right. I don't believe you. We were going to visit your imaginary hideaway." "It's not imaginary." Riley blushed. "I just felt led to bring you here."
"I can't imagine why," Andy said. "There is nothing here for me but painful memories. As soon as I rest, I'm going home."
Riley shook his head. "No, Andy. It's time to stop running. You can't go on like this. Eventually, you have to face what happened, put it behind you, and get on with life. Why not today?" Fury stabbed Andy like a hot poker.
"Who are you to tell me what I must or must not do?"
"You're right," Riley said. "I'm a nobody, but I was once your friend, and I care about you now. You have a kind and honorable family, but..." He paused and licked his lips as if he didn't want to go on.
"But what?"
"You're doing your best to tear your family apart. You think your brothers betrayed you, and you have kept them mired in guilt over Taffy for much too long. They tiptoe around you, hoping time will heal you. Clearly, that approach is not working." Andy was stunned into silence. Never in her life had she heard such presumption from a hired hand. Sure, Sid McCoy berated her often enough for one thing and another. He'd gone so far at times as to suggest she should dress and act more like a young lady. Andy gave old Sid the respect due him and brushed off his criticism. But Riley? She would not let this brash young wrangler trample her feelings this way. Riley gave her no chance to find her tongue. "Your brother's only intent was mercy toward the poor mare and kindness toward you. They couldn't watch Taffy die slowly in agony a week or two later, trapped at the bottom of the draw. It would have wounded you terribly to learn they'd let her suffer. They chose what was best out of love for you and your horse." He let out a deep breath. "And this is how you've repaid them."
I'm astonished your family has allowed you to wallow in self-pity for so long. Don't you think it's time to forgive them and move past all this? You know it is, a little voice accused, confirming Riley's appeal. Angry tears rose. Andy leaped to her feet, then cried out. Her legs felt wobbly. She was paying for sitting on a horse too long. You're through, Riley, she stormed. Finished! When Chad finds out how you spoke to me, he'll fire you today. Riley calmly rose and faced her. No, he'll probably give me a raise, relieved that somebody finally took you to task. Just like he's paid you to dog my steps and wear me down so I'll forget what happened? As soon as the words were out of her mouth, she knew she didn't really believe that. Just like she didn't really believe Riley was a liar and a traitor. But it felt good to lance her festering wound. Riley ignored her outburst. You go ahead and tell Chad exactly what I said. At least you'll be speaking to him again. Andy clenched her fists and stomped to her horse, incensed. I'm going home. Goodbye. Andy jerked Shasta's reins and reached for the pommel. She lifted her foot and tried to ease it into the stirrup. Pain shot through her leg. She winced and tried again. No use. She couldn't go anywhere without help. Andy whirled on Riley. Would you please help me mount? No, ma'am. Unbidden tears burst from Andy like a fountain. She crumpled to the ground and sobbed. Everything hurt, her head, her heart, and a good portion of her battered body. Mother had held her and let her cry many times during the past few weeks, even when Andy refused to back down. Mother was patient, and Andy loved her, but she missed the special bond she'd always had with her three older brothers. That broken bond now left a gaping hole in Andy's heart. She was miserable, and it was her own fault. She cried harder. Riley didn't move. He stood a little ways off and let Andy cry herself out. When no more tears came, he led her back to the bristlecone pine and sat her down. It was the only tree in the vicinity large enough to shade them from the blistering sun. Looks like you need one of these. He pulled out a bandana and dropped it in her lap. Keep it, he said when she'd wiped her nose and face. Andy scrunched the cloth into a ball. How long did Riley intend to keep her out here in the middle of nowhere? It was almost like kidnapping. Before she could accuse him of such a crime, Riley sat down beside her.